Please keep your Bible open in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, as the center of the preaching today. We are studying the introduction to the Beatitudes. In Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, Jesus gave us the introduction. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he gave us the teaching, explaining what he said in nutshell in Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12. Today we are on verse 9. This is another emphasis that Jesus made. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called," the King James said, "children." There are two words in the original for saying that. One is children, 1 to 12, and the other an adult child, son, 12 and above. And that's the word used over there. It's pronounced Jewish. We call the children the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. There are two things I want you to know. That the scripture, number one, is the scripture brings peace. This book, the Bible, when you read it, brings peace with God. Peace with God. If you want to find peace with God, here's a book that you need to have and read it. Let me give you some examples. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33, and if you have an outline of my sermon in the bulletin, there between parentheses are the page number, if you are using a Bible, that is in the pew. Page 1237. Romans 15 and verse 33 said this, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Amen. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of the Bible is a God of peace. If you move your Bible farther to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11, page 1265, page 1265, then you find the Word of God saying to us in 2 Corinthians 13, 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect." That word perfect means be of sound mind. You know, things happen in our world that takes our mind away. And so the apostle encouraged us and he said, "Be of sound mind," he said. "Be of good comfort. Be of one mind." And look at what he says. "Live in peace." Now that's the instruction of the Bible. Go a little farther to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 9, page 1281, page 1281, Philippians chapter 4, in verse 9, and the Bible said these things concerning peace. Paul is speaking and he says, "The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do. And the gospel of peace will be with you." So the message of the Bible is a message of peace. It's a message that brings you confronting God, but the Bible provides for you a bridge to have peace with God. Now here is a problem that I want you to see. Here is the world in which we live, whether you are in Europe, in North America, South America, Asia, wherever you are, is this problem. The world have no peace. And the master of all of these is in Isaiah chapter 14, page 773. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. There is one who is always trying to make war against you and against God. Let me read it for you. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13. For thou, God talking to Satan, has said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And look at verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Do you see it? Satan wants only one thing. He wants to be number one, period. And he will try to get that at any cost, to get you in confrontation with God. We live in a world that is a war with God. That's what Satan is. Satan is going to use people from every nation and from every race trying to make them to depart from the peace of God. And God said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, I want to emphasize this very heavily now in Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 3, which is page 1273, Ephesians 2, in verse 3. Not only Satan is in command to do always a war against God, but now we are in the midst of this. Ephesians 2, 3. Among whom also, Paul talking about to the church of Ephesus, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath against God, just as others. As we are born with that sin nature within us. And that sin nature knows only one thing. I'm going to do what I want to, regardless what God said. Few days ago, we saw that in the state of California. Very proud, the mayor of San Francisco said, now we are free. That's what Satan tried to tell him. We are free. Free from God. We do what we want to. I wrote a long letter to the mayor. Hopefully I will not end in jail. But it's exactly true. He is free to do evil because he's against God. I asked him to look himself in the mirror and tell me later if he's a man or a woman. That's the only thing he had to do. Get yourself nude, watch in the mirror. I'm a man, I'm a woman. But those bandidos, they lost their brain. Satan do that to you and to me. The last, look at verse 3. The last of our flesh. That had nothing to do with the mayor of San Francisco. It had to do with us. We are possessed by that nature. They want to do whatever they want to do. Your children, if you are not a strong parent, your children will grow in that way. So here it is. The Bible is a book that brings peace to God. And then we have a world that is in confrontation with God. And we have ourselves that we are born in confrontation with God. But the Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so there are four important realities about God's peace revealed in the scripture that I want to share with you this morning. First, its meaning. Then its maker. Then its messenger. And then its merits. We're going to study the scripture. I give you the page number. I want you to see it with your eye. I don't like when in churches they show the scripture on the top. I want you to see it with your eye. Like my grandmother taught me to read it in Arab, right to left, and with a guitar chanting. It's just fantastic. The Bible comes alive and you see it. And I hope we have this time this morning. First, its meaning. What is the nature of peace? Move your Bible to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, page 1318. The nature of peace. James chapter 3, verse 17, page 1318. But the wisdom, said the scripture, that is from above, is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that is from God is peaceful. That's the nature of peace. You do not learn peace in an academic classroom in the university. You learn peace when you have in your hand and believe the wisdom of God. There is no human institution that can teach you to be an ambassador in the true meaning except God. And the true nature of peace is that wisdom of God that comes into your heart. Whether right or wrong, you do what God said. And whether the world cares or not, you do what God said. And in spite of a storm in your life, you stand at peace because you do what God said. That's the nature of peace. What is the character of it? Let's go to Psalm 85 and verse 10, page 683. Psalm 85 and verse 10, page 683, so you see it. Look at this one. I thought there was fantastic, this text. Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Now listen to this. Righteousness, the German word for justification, and peace have what? Kiss each other. I mean, you know when you kiss each other, you are there. For how many minutes? I don't know, but you are there. All right? You kiss each other. You're one. What is justification? That means believing, being a believer in Christ, and being a peacemaker goes together. Doesn't say being a diplomat. Doesn't say being a philosopher, like Paul was. Said being a believer and peace, that goes together. That goes together. That's the character. Now, there is a negative thing I want to explain to you in case you read it in your home and you question about it. And it's in Mark chapter 10 and verse 34. You who are listening over the internet, watching over the television, or looking into our archive, you may be questioned later on. Mark chapter 10, verse 34, page 1048. Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were professional crooks, like some of our politicians, this is what they said. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. Isn't that a contradiction? Here in Matthew 5:9 said, blessed are the peacemakers. And Jesus said, I bring a sword. Now, who is talking with? He's talking to the Pharisees. And what he's saying is this, the peace of God knows no compromise. The peace of God is not a peace at any price. The peace of God is me with God. Anything else is not the peace of God. And so he said, I have come not to be in peace in this sense that everything goes, everything is okay. No, sir. There is a right, there is a wrong, and Jesus is the peacemaker, no Muhammad or anybody else. People say, well, you're discriminating. Yes, sir, I'm discriminating. Because the Bible discriminates. The Bible doesn't say any God bring peace. The Bible talks about Jesus, the peacemaker. And so Jesus tell the Pharisees, straightforward in their eyes, listen, fellows, to you, I have no come to bring peace to you. I'm here and that embattles you. Because I'm the peacemaker. So what's the meaning of peace? It is the presence of righteousness in your heart. It is the presence of God in your heart. That's what peace is. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who believe in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that a great blessing? I'm not talking about being a Roman Catholic or being a Protestant or being this. Blessed are those who are Christians in thee, who in their heart they know they have been sinners from the time they are born. And now through the miracle of God and the Holy Spirit, they are led into a confrontation with God. And God showed them Jesus and they took it in their heart. And now the Bible said, blessed are those who are right with God. Everything could go wrong in your life. But if you're right with God, you're a blessed people. You're a blessed people. We don't think that in America because we listen to the politicians and they said the American dream, which is to have a house, a Maserati, three televisions, and things like that. That was no American 200 years ago, is that right? 150 years ago. 50 years ago. That's not the American that I know through the missionaries. I got in love with America by living with the missionaries. What kind of people this country is. And I lost many things when I came to America because I left my coat, I left my Omega watch in places and nobody's going to take it. When I come back, they took it. And then I learned. People are people everywhere. Here it is, the meaning. The meaning of peace, blessed are the peacemaker, means blessed are those who have God in their heart. The God of the Bible. Not any God, the God of the Bible. Jehovah. Like my grandmother, Arab, she will say Jehovah. Now the maker of peace. Who is making peace with God? If you go back to the third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, in chapter 26, page 154 in the Bible, of the pew, in Leviticus 26 and in verse 6, God speaks to Israel. It's the third book of the Bible, Leviticus 26 and verse 6. Third book of the Bible. And the Bible says in Leviticus 26 verse 6, God is speaking, I will give peace in the land. And you shall lay down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. I will make peace in your land. Israel need to focus in Jehovah. I am your peacemaker. I am. What is that manifestation of that peace? How that peace, I can see it and touch it. You need to go back to Ephesians again in the New Testament, in page 1273, Ephesians 2 in verse 13 and in verse 14. And here we have it. Here we have the manifestation of peace. Here's how you can touch peace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 and 14, page 1273. Now here is what the Bible says. And these Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 13. I will need to have another Bible because my Bible here did not have that. It's a Hebrew Bible. I got a Hebrew Bible in the pulpit. All right, here it is. Ephesians 2 in verse 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by who? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. You know this? Not the church. Not your baptism. Not your membership diploma from a church. The Bible said, he are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. There was before Christ that division between Jewish people and Gentile people. And when Christ came in, he brought people together by the sacrifice of his blood. Blood is his life. The Bible said in Leviticus, life is in the blood. And so when he says right here in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, he who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood, means I'm really dying, putting my body to make that breach between mankind and God. And so the source in the New Testament, Jehovah. The source in the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself. Nobody can take the place of Christ himself. The church cannot take the place of Christ. In my land, in Europe where my parents come from, unfortunately, the church take the place of the intercession. Unfortunately, some people take the Virgin Mary, who never intended herself to be the intercessor, to be the intercessor. When she prayed in Luke chapter 2, she said, I, my Savior, she tells Jesus. See, that's Satan, the enemy of God, who try by all means to you to be closer to the truth and far away from the truth. That is the specialty of Satan. I hear people talking about the gospel. I hear people talking about doctrine. They specialize in doctrine. And when I put a finger in their heart if they are a believer, I have question marks. I will never tell somebody you are not a believer. But I say I have a question mark because of your lifestyle. See, that's very dramatic and very important. The manifestation of peace is Christ Jesus himself. He has come. He has died according to the scripture. Read Psalm 2 in your home. And then he make a bridge to heaven. And those who believe are on. Blessed are those who are believers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, the agent. Who is going to tell me, an educated person, that Jesus died for my sins? That's what one man told me, a medical doctor. He said, who's going to tell me, an educated person, that Jesus died for my sins? Oh, I found it. Somebody can talk to you and you will not resist it when that person talks to you. Look your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And look at what the Bible says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what is it? Peace. The fruit of the Spirit. And I explained to my friend, I said, the Holy Spirit, when you read the scripture, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to tell you this is true. You know, when people are ignorant, doesn't matter if you have an MD. Just laughing on me, he said, and where do I buy the Holy Spirit? Thank God we don't buy the Holy Spirit, all right? How much will it cost? It's given to us. Look in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, page 1227. Romans 5. In verse 5, you don't cry for the Holy Spirit. You don't beg for the Holy Spirit. You don't pay for the Holy Spirit. There is a guy in the Bible that wants to buy the Holy Spirit. And look at what the Bible says. And hope which will not let us down, because the love of God has been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit, which, what? Has been given to us. Is that clear? The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And you know, doctors are smart, and so ask the question, when? When do I receive the Holy Spirit? And unfortunately, Christianity has given wrong pictures. When I shake myself up, when I roll on the floor, when I do that. Say, no, sir. The Bible explained to you when. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, please. Page 1272. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul, after giving the doctrine of salvation, he says, in him, in Jesus, you have trust. Now, watch that adverb. After you hear the word of truth. You cannot trust unless you hear the Bible. All right? After you hear the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, or after you believe, what happened? You don't have to have more afters after you believe. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. Is not that beautiful? Ephesians 1 and verse 13. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, and seal. No after, no adverb of time after. Boom, seal. There is no timing between believing and the Holy Spirit. God sealed you, whether you like it or not. Boom, gotcha. And suddenly when you said, I don't like this, you said, well, where I've been? How come I don't saw that? It's because now you have the peace of God and you are looking the Bible with a different eye, with a different mind. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, who are the messengers? Is the Holy Spirit flying around? Somebody told me. I'm 38 years of pastor. I have heard many things. One lady, I was, remember in the 74? So you have worse than now gasoline, 145. Well, that was expensive. And we had to make a line to put gasoline. I was a pastor in Newark, California. I, as a pastor and as a radio reporter, I can go in and cut right away. And one man came to me, a Spanish fellow. He said, I don't know what happened to my wife. She's crazy. I said, well, it happened to all of us. Sometimes the wife, sometimes the man. How can I help you? You know, you had to cool off the fellow. He said, she's seeing the light coming to her. Oh, that bring my lamp. I said, you know, I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor. Come in. You will be right with her. Come in. I said, well, I will not go in unless you come. He said, well, he come. So you will see it. And I went to the home. And unfortunately, I thank God. I don't criticize or judge people. I just listen to see if I can help them to make the breach. And she said, you see that light, pastor? I said, yes, it's coming to me. She see the light off and the light is on. It was windy and the light was loose. So I don't want to offend her. I said, but I go over there and I pray and I tie the light. So now it's going to be on the whole day. And I said, please, how do you learn this? She said, well, they taught me that the Holy Spirit is coming and you see it. I said, if it's in the Spirit, have you ever seen in a spirit? No. So she said, how I do this? See, unfortunately, the wrong information is out in the field, and people may laugh at us because they think we are like them. So be patient and kind. Who are the recipients of the Holy Spirit? Who are the one who are the body of the Holy Spirit? Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 with me. These are the ones who are the body of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, page 1227. Therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We. In Romans 1:7, the Bible said, this book is written to the believers in Rome. We, the believers. We are the recipients of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones who have received the Spirit and have peace with God. And so, now that we have peace with God, now that we know God, now that we have God in our heart and the peace of God in our heart, how should we exhibit that peace? What should I do so that people know that I'm a peaceful man? Go to Romans. You are in, there in 5. Go to Romans 12, please, to verse 18. Romans 12 and verse 18. And look at what the Bible says. If, I like that conditional sentence it's called in grammar. Romans 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depend on circumstances. No. If it is possible, as much as depend on the new president. No. If it is possible, say here, as much as depend on you, live peacefully with all men. You don't have to jump and yield and lose control of yourself. Some people said, doctor, you know what happened is my great-great-grandmother, she was hysteric, and my grandfather was hysteric, and I inherited that. Yeah, that's true. You inherited that. But now you are what? A new creature in Christ. God has twisted your brain and put a new brain with the power of the other brain, because the Bible says greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. So there is no justification for failure. No justification for failure. I remember when I studied and I got a B, my father wanted to kill me. He said, I pay the bills. I feed you. I clothe you. The only thing you have to study and you get a B, you're insulting me. I thought it was the whole world was coming down. I never got a B again. Because in South America, until 21, your parents have to sign the report. And if your child can perform better, police will come in and take you, parents, to the school to talk. So what are you doing with your children? Thank God for that. We'll learn from the British. But I tell you, this is magnificent. If it's possible for you to be at peace. So you as a believer, you don't blow up with your wife. You don't blow up with your children. And people say, I have a difficult child. We all were difficult when we were young. We all were difficult. I was difficult. No in the sense I would do crazy things, but I will talk all the time. My father will say this. My mother, this. He said, let me give you my opinion. My mother fixed me. No opinion. All right? But I always have an opinion. And I always talk to my brother to engineer things, and I watch when he get in trouble. That was my idea. So we all have something, all right? We all have something. But the Bible says, live peacefully. So you study the situation, and I always learn from people. I don't care if it's Pentecostal speaking, or a Methodist, or whatever. I listen and always learn. And I have been involved in a peacemaking situation between pastors and deacons in a place. And letters were sent out. And the president of the Southern Baptist Association called me and said, Dr. Otero, I wonder how Jesus will answer all of this. Boy, that did it. How wonderful, no? Think of yourself. In this difficult situation, how would Jesus answer my wife? How would Jesus answer my husband? How would Jesus answer my children? How would Jesus answer my boss? Blessed are the peacemakers. And when the people see a peacemaker, they know this. They know this. And then you can explain to them. If they say, well, you're a nice person, they tell you. In the coffee shop, they think I'm God. I'm coming in and everybody quiet, change their vocabulary. Everything is called enough. Say, we never saw a man like you. So, oh, you didn't show nothing. Wait until you go to heaven and see Jesus. You don't because you go to hell. But wait, those who go to heaven. You know, they don't care about the church. They don't care about Jesus. So how to tell them the truth? And they're still paying for me for my coffee. They're very kind. But I tell you, blessed are the peacemakers. Live peacefully. Imagine your neighbors listening to you, yielding to you, wife. And then you go tomorrow, invite them to church. I will not go to church with that guy. You see what I mean? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a believer? If you're a believer, there is no excuse. And here's my super conclusion. It's on the whole sermon in one text. I will not give you the text at the beginning so you can put the offering and we get through. But here is what it is. John 16 and verse 33. Page 1173, John 16 and verse 33. Jesus is speaking. And here's what he says. These things I have spoken to you, he says, that in me you may have peace. Now look at the counsel. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. My friend, in the world there is nothing good news. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. What did he say? I had overcome the world. My friend, blessed are the peacemakers. This is the gorgeous arena of the peacemakers. We are blessed. And what's the merit of being a peacemaker? Remember Matthew 5 and verse 9. They shall be called, weos, the Son of God. Dignity and honor. That you don't have so much in America. You go to university in Europe or in South America, and somebody is giving you the hand and say, I'm the son of so-and-so, somebody who's millionaire or somebody who is big, and that guy goes ahead of you. You are the son of God. I am the son of God. And when you are the son of God, man, I dress as a son of God. I talk like a son of God. I walk like a son of God. And you get dignity and honor. We lost all of that. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the believers because they are the son of God. Sometimes a little price, somebody was putting gasoline. He said, look, $70. Oh, my wife car is $85. He said, well, you think bad? No, I'm a son of God. I thought, see what happened. Son of who? He said, son of God. I'm a believer. He said, well, the price is very bad. So what? I have less money. That's all. And when I don't have money, I don't drive a car. What's the problem? There are many people in Africa don't drive the cars. You will see me with a horse, maybe. And they looked at me and said, this guy is weird, is loco, crazy. But you know, we watch the news and we let the news brainwash our head. Just watch the news and laugh and say, I wonder what God's going to do tomorrow. Will these people see God? No, they don't see God. They're looking for a genius, like in the time of Jesus. They are looking for a genius to solve all the economical problems. And we are looking for heaven to solve all our problems. And we want others too to come in. We want you to know that Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. And that when you have Jesus, we have these people here in the church, these people in watching television or watching in the extension room here in television. We have people who believe in God and they're in peace, regardless how much money you have. Because we are the sons of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we are the sons of God. You said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the believers, the people who have a sound mind from God. Because they will be called the son of God. Forgive us, O Father, for the time that we do not exhibit that and challenge us to behave and to walk like son of God so that people may see the peace of God in us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. been the last Sunday of the month. We had a fellowship luncheon together, but today we have something special, and Joby is going to introduce it here.
Before we do that, I'd like to call Greg Thomason and Mary.
She's in the back there somewhere.
She's coming. Does everybody know them?
Only by the grace of God that went over.
Well, unbeknownst to us, Greg is our pastor. And
you didn't know that?
I just found out today. And they tirelessly serve, and they're a big blessing for us. But today is actually their 24th anniversary. Yeah. And I forgot, so you have to come back. I thought you wanted me to sing. Okay, so
I'll sing with you.
Okay. And today we have a special treat. We'd like to take a few minutes this morning to introduce to you a special ministry, the ministry of Johnny and Friends. And this ministry was founded by Johnny Erickson Tada. Many of you have heard of her, some maybe not. But her life has been an amazing testament of faith and a purpose for the Lord. Cheryl Birmingham is our Bay Area coordinator. She's here with us today. And she's the director for the Johnny and Friends, and she'll be sharing a lot about the exciting things that are going on and the work that the Lord is doing in this ministry. Personally, having heard Johnny's witness about her walk with the Lord, I was blessed, and I'm sure when we see what the Lord's doing, we'll all be blessed as well. Cheryl?
Good morning. It's great to be here. As Joby has said, my name is Cheryl Birmingham, and I'm the interim director for the area ministry for the Bay Area of Johnny and Friends. Johnny Erickson Tada, for those of you who may not know her, is quadriplegic. And she became a quadriplegic at the age of 17 due to a diving accident in a lake in Massachusetts, and she broke her neck. And during that time, she during rehabilitation, she went in. It's not like how it is nowadays. Where it's still a crucial when you are a quadriplegic, it is still a crisis moment. But because of technology and the medical advances that God has ordained to the medical field, the rehabilitation is less from what Johnny was. She was in rehabilitation for 2 years in Massachusetts, and during that time, she was a Christian, a believer, pretty solid believer. But as you could imagine, something like that of such a crisis and tragedy changed her life at 17 years old. And she cried out to the Lord, "What is going on, Lord?" Very real, very serene. And her faith was shaken. What happened was that the people around her, the body of Christ, the church, surrounded her and said, "Johnny, we're not quite sure why this happened, but what we know for sure is God is faithful, God is sovereign, and He has a purpose and a plan for you. Let's go through this together." And that is how Johnny and Friends became a ministry. Johnny knew and was able to walk through this time with her friends of faith to come to a place knowing that God does love her and will use her in a way that she could never imagine. So Johnny and Friends has started because of that vision and that hope. And we've been around for 27 years. The Bay Area Ministry has been involved with people with disabilities. That's our people group. That's our ethnos that God has called us to disciple and to raise up and to share the love and the hope of Jesus Christ to people and families affected by disability. We've been here for 13 years based upon in Walnut Creek first and then now in the little town of Castro Valley. And I have the privilege to share with you about Johnny and Friends. We're a compassion ministry. First and foremost, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to people affected by disabilities and their families. We establish and give them hope in practical and tangible ways. And what I want to do is share a little bit about our ministry, of what we're doing here in the Bay Area, both globally and locally. Our mission is taken from the mandate of Luke 14, verse 20 to 22. And it says, go out to the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the blind, the crippled, and the lame, so that my house will be full. Again, God talking about his house as the church will be full. And Johnny once said that God loves a messy house. And that means the church. The church is going to be a place of those in need, that need hope. And that's what we're able to do. And I'm inviting all of you to participate with us in that. Some programs that we do with Johnny and Friends and how we are able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about a global ministry that we have. It's called Wheels for the World. Wheels for the World was established back in 1979. And the Bay Area has been to countries such as Thailand and Vietnam and China and Romania. What we do with Wheels for the World, the video will show you pretty much what we do once we get to the country. But what we do beforehand, I want a little explanation of, we collect used wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and crutches right here in our own community. And through volunteers that will collect these items, and then we'll store them. Once they're stored, we partner with an organization called FedEx. Some of you may know them. And they, as a charitable run for us, they take all our wheelchairs and medical equipment to state prisons. And what happens is that the prisoners, we've trained them how to restore these medical equipments to brand new condition. And again, it's a great way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are now giving back to people with disabilities in developing countries. And we're also asking them, hey, we have a church service on Sunday morning. Would you like to come and hear more about our Lord Jesus? And believe it or not, friends, a lot of those prisoners come, and they come to faith because of this. So in every opportunity, a wheelchair is a great vehicle to spread the gospel. So that's kind of the premise of how it works before. And we'll go ahead and we'll show the video of what it is once we get to Thailand. Yes, please.